welcome to the Tuesday edition of Chewing Clock. My name is Dimitri Ravanis.
I'm Tyler McComas.
And I guess we have to look at what is a very serious situation in Lawrence, Kansas today. So rather than throw out some sort of funny intro, I'll just tell you that the show and every show here on the Armchair Media Network is brought to you by the folks at SeatGeek.com, the official ticket sponsor of the Armchair Media Network. And if you are looking to get tickets for any upcoming game, show, or concert, they are at SeatGeek.com, and they're $20 off when you open a brand new account and enter the promo code ACAA at checkout. Tickets to whatever you want to see for a discount. All you have to do is enter ACAA at checkout when you open a brand new account at SeatGeek.com. Puka Williams will miss all of one game as a Kansas Jayhawk, their standout running back, and maybe you say standout by just Kansas standards, but he is pretty good, and obviously is going to be very necessary to Kansas take it a step forward. He was kicked off the team during the offseason for his role in a domestic violence incident. The woman that accused him showed police a text message where Puka basically admitted that he not only choked but punched this woman. And after an offseason of what Kansas coach Les Miles calls a lot of work and inward reflection, they've decided to let Puka Williams back on the team, and he is getting what amounts to a slap on the wrist, missing one game. That game is against Indiana State. Perhaps the only game on the schedule that Kansas would have a shot at winning without their standout player on the roster. I'm trying to give people a lot of background here, Tyler, because I think that what we need to talk about with this is less about Puka specifically, less about Les Miles specifically, and more about what college football can do and the NCAA can do to keep from giving itself PR black eyes over and over and over again when it comes to players in domestic violence.
I really think that Les Miles missed a big opportunity. He's the first-year head coach. He's trying to establish a culture within the program that can, you know, last several years, and they'll start winning more football games. But The program that he sent, or the message that he sent, wasn't a good one, Dimitri. He sent the same message that everybody else is being sent. It's, if you're the best player on the team, and if you can really help us win games, then you're not going to be held to the same standard as everybody else. I refuse to believe that if Puka Williams was a backup guard on the offensive line, that the punishment would have been the same. I would be even willing to bet that he would still no longer be on the football team. So we want to end violence against, unless, you know, they're really good at football. We pick and choose when we really want to punish people, and I think that that's super unfortunate, and I think that sends a terrible, terrible message for a first-year head football coach.
Yeah, it is a terrible look for Kansas. It's a really bad look for Les Miles, who has always sort of been hit with the out-of-touch moniker, but it's always been based on his playbook, right? We've never heard anything bad about Les or objectionable about Les on a personal level. And I mean, here he is sort of stepping into, you know, this isn't an accusation that is still being investigated. This is something that Puka Williams has admitted happened with his girlfriend at the time. I think one of the problems, or I guess this is one of the symptoms that comes from the problem of there being no real sort of central disciplinary leadership in college football. And I'm not saying this is why conferences have to go away, but when you do everything discipline-wise, both for players and coaches at the conference level, this is why these things get maybe not swept under the rug, but they can be dealt with in as minimal a way as possible, because conference commissioners are not going to do anything that pisses off their membership, pisses off the people that pay them big money. I feel like this is a situation where if you had, whether it's a commissioner of college football or just some sort of enforcement czar, we could have gotten a penalty more in line with the crime.
Yes, and it sounds like you and I can agree, and I hope a lot of other people would too. The fact that he admitted this is worth way more than a one-game suspension. Now, Kansas will try to sell me on, well, he was suspended for 7 months. Okay, well, you didn't play any games in the past 7 months, right? And and he got to be away from spring practice, which none of the players like or anything like that. That's not much of a punishment. So, yeah, in situations like this, if we're really serious about ending domestic violence and things like that, apparently we can't count on our ADs and head coaches to do it. There needs to be somebody that's actually going to enforce rules and things that should be upheld more to a higher standard.
All right, so you are going to hear a difference now. We were having some technical issues, as you might have heard there. Tyler is back with me, but he is on the phone. And so I want to go back to what you said about we can't really rely on coaches and ADs to do the right thing here. They certainly say the right things, but I don't want to make this sound like or give off the impression that this is a recent problem or only a Kansas problem or only a Les Miles problem. I mean, we saw this with Joe Mixon at Oklahoma. We've seen this with countless guys at Florida State during the Jimbo Fisher era. And there are plenty of people that are just not springing to mind right away. When there is video evidence or the evidence is overwhelming, it still, for whatever reason, is not enough to trump your football playing ability. And that, look, that used to be the same thing for a long time in the NFL. I think that you have seen Roger Goodell sometimes go overboard with punishments on the pro side of football. But you know what? In terms of the sport being healthy and not seeming like this cesspool, and I'm talking specifically about college, not seeming like this cesspool that sometimes it becomes or seems to be, I wouldn't mind seeing a coach go overboard sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, we hardly ever have a overboard type of punishment. It's let's just do with the bare minimum that we can to where we're doing something, but oh my gosh, he's not missing the big game coming up in week right. three or week four. You know what I mean? And that was kind of the same thing with even Urban Meyer last year. Mm-hmm. It's what he gets suspended the first four games, and their fifth game of the year was against Penn State. It was, yeah, you know, we can stand to losing against these crap non-conference teams that we play, but if we can just win that TCU game in Arlington, then finally we have Urban Meyer back on the sidelines. I just think that that's a terrible way to approach things. And again, for Les Miles, it's a missed opportunity for him to kind of lay down very early what's important and what the standard is of his program. So it's unfortunate, but unfortunately, I don't see this changing anytime soon because there is a lot of pressure to win football games at a high level, and coaches are going to sometimes forget about their morals and their principles to win those football games and keep their jobs. It's just a bad system that we kind of have right now in collegiate football.
I think that we do need to shine some light on a guy that did the right thing. And to me, this makes Les Miles or any coach, really just about any coach in the country, look a lot worse. Jeremiah Holloman was going to be the leading receiver coming back for Georgia this year. On June 2nd, an ex-girlfriend reported that he struck her during a fight. She reported that to the police. The police questioned Holloman about it. He said, yes, he did it. Within 2.5 weeks, he was off the team at Georgia. Now, you can make the argument that it's not as hard for Kirby Smart to make that decision because maybe Holloman has more experience, but it's not like he's the only great offensive weapon on that team the way Puka Williams might be for Kansas. I think that you look at the level that Georgia is playing at, and if they can let go of a guy like Holloman, there is kind of no excuse for Puka Williams to still be playing at Kansas. I think that now, look, what I'm the next thing I'm going to compare this to, these are two very, very different levels of crime. But when you think about the fact that Dexter Lawrence had to sit out the national championship game, or I think the college football playoff, the semifinal game against Notre Dame for PED use. I mean, he essentially got the exact same penalty, if not a more severe penalty, than we're seeing Puka Williams get here.
Yeah, and that's the part that's crap. You remember Dez Bryant essentially yep. got suspended the whole year, his last year at Oklahoma State. Justin Blackmon got suspended, I think, one game his final year at Oklahoma State because he went down to a Cowboys game on a Monday night. Somebody gave him a ride, right? It's like, well, you can hit a woman in the stomach and then choke her, and we'll only give you one game. But if Puka Williams was caught signing autographs and selling them or something like that, or trading autographs for tattoos or selling a game-worn jersey like A.J. Green did, that's when you get the book thrown at you. You know, it sounds so silly saying it out loud, and it is. I don't understand it.
I wonder where or if the NCAA at this point, do they not want to deal with this, or have they been set up in a way that makes them so ineffectual? And I mean set up like in terms of the organization coming together, not framed or anything like that. But have they been constructed? Has the NCAA been constructed, and have they done business deals at this point in a way that there is no getting the horse back in the barn on this one? There is no way to bring some sort of central disciplinary committee together. Like they've given so much power to the individual conferences that there is no doing this on a national level.
That may be the case. And of course, in that circumstance, like you're saying, I guess they would have to do it themselves. But at some point, if this thing continues to get out of hand and punishments are like this, then you've got to step in and do something, right?
Because you're right. Like, all of those instances you mentioned are legit things that happened. The trading gear for tattoos, that was at Ohio State. You mentioned AJ Green selling his own game used equipment. I mean, and the NCAA has authority in those matters. And it's insane that they don't have authority in this matter. And it's insane what the punishments are for things that involve you making money outside of the scope of the NCAA. But, you know, in a world where Title IX exists, in a world where the NCAA is running commercials during the NCAA tournament about Think of Us as a Spirit Squad, they are choosing to be ineffectual in this particular realm. And it's their biggest PR problem right now with college football.
Yeah, and in a perfect world, in a perfect situation, and I don't think that we're going to get to this point, but I just think that there should be a kind of a black and white ruling of what this punishment is after each, you know, circumstance like this. And I know that some of them are different, but first offense, I mean, and I'm just throwing out a number. I don't even know if I would agree with this one or not. 8 games. Second offense, you're no longer to play NCAA football. I just like something black and white instead of head coaches and ADs thinking about what's best for themselves and not what sends the right message. Because I don't even think for Puka Williams necessarily this is a good thing. I mean, what does this teach him at the end of the day? Hey, I'm really good and I can kind of get away with whatever the hell I want. I mean, that's not good for anybody.
Well, I mean, you know, it teaches Puka Williams that he has the value at a place like Kansas where he is essentially untouchable. And look, I'm not saying that he wouldn't have the same value at a Clemson or an Alabama or a Georgia or one of those teams on that level. I've never seen Puka Williams play. I don't know how good he is compared to the rest of the nation. I mean, he might learn that lesson wherever he goes if he only gets that one game suspension. But the fact of the matter is, like, when you have an admission, I don't know. I mean, look, maybe I'm a little more draconian here than you are. When you have an admission, I don't know how you could justify keeping the kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm even fine with that. I mean, you can go play football with somebody else or for somebody else. A JUCO will give you a chance. The Division II is going to give you a chance, but it's not going to be us. I'm sorry, because playing college football is a privilege, man.
I mean, sure.
At the end of the day, it is a privilege, and a lot of great privileges should be taken away from you if you can't act accordingly. And punching a woman in the stomach and then choking her is not acting accordingly.
You know, I think sometimes whenever we hear new instances of this, whether they are new, like just happened, or new as in just recently reported, I think about the Ray Rice situation. I mean, there is a guy that did everything the NFL asked him to do in terms of getting an education in this realm, making amends, all that kind of stuff. And because of his age and his ineffectiveness, he can't get another shot anymore. And I mean, look, maybe that's fair. Maybe that's the way it should be. But so much of how far discipline goes in this area has to do with how many yards per carry you're picking up. And it is unfortunate. And I wonder, in the case of college football, how much is it driven? And Kansas is a really good test case here, because Kansas is a Power 5 program in name only. I mean, they are certainly not better than a whole lot of G5 programs out there. So in a place like Kansas, how much does the fact that there is always a coach willing to go dumpster diving, and maybe not in 2019, but in 2020, you could realistically see Puka Williams or Jeremiah Holloman back on an FBS roster at a lower level. How much does that motivate a guy like Les Miles to say, I'd rather take the PR hit than risk him going somewhere else?
Oh, I'm sure that that's a massive part of it. And I wonder if this is a part of it too, because Kansas handed down a 1-game suspension. That wasn't right. Anybody else. If Kansas would have handed down a 10-game suspension, theoretically, could Puka Williams have transferred elsewhere and not have any and be eligible immediately to play and not have any suspension on him? I mean, probably so, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, and again, that goes back to exactly what we're talking about with the NCAA refusing to sort of bring this in-house, is there's no way to enforce a penalty from a single school when you transfer out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a flawed system right now that they really need to revise, because we've got unfortunate situations like this, and at least it's a black eye for the sport. There's a lot of good things the sport does, and we love it, but this is one of the bad times.
Yeah, no, this is one of those times that you just sort of have to swallow hard and come to terms with what the realities are, basically. Yeah. But anyway, that is where we're going to put a pin in it for today. My name is Demetri Ivanis. He is Tyler McComas. MyBookie.ag is the official sponsor of this show, and they want to give you 1,000 free bucks to play with when you enter the promo code CLOCK at checkout when you're opening a new account. Do it today. MyBookie.ag, promo code CLOCK at checkout for that $1,000 deposit bonus. We will talk to you tomorrow on another edition of Chewing Clock.